Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here as we gather for worship on this little rainy day, but we do need the rain, so it's good that you've been able to come out and worship with us today. Send a special welcome to those who are visiting with us, and if it's your first time here, we extend a special welcome to you. Make sure that we know that it is your first time here, and we want to get a welcome card from you, but also we have a little gift for first-time visitors, so please let us know. Special welcome to Virginia and David Williams, who will be providing special music during our service today. And our coffee hour today, which everyone is invited to, is going to segue into our potluck lunch, and all that's going to be held out in Judson Chapel today. So not in the kitchen, but out in Judson Chapel. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, nothing extraordinary. I just do want to point out the Board of Christian Education is scheduled to meet next Sunday after the worship service in preparation for the fall and getting Sunday school started again. You may have noticed if you're looking out there, I brought the donations that we've made for the backpack drive for Housing Families Inn. We'll be dedicating those a little later during our morning prayer this morning. And that's all the announcements I have at this time. So I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection 715 for our responsive call to worship. We're reading a variety of verses from both the Old and New Testament, so let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts.
You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord.
You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God.
That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light.
You are the light of the world.
A city on a hill cannot be hidden.
Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl.
Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house.
In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
Live as children of light.
Our opening hymn this morning is O Christian's Haste, number 712. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
To tell to all of the world that God is one.
Let's pray together. Holy God, as the light of the sun is transformed by plants into energy, so we transform your divine light into love and service. Open our hearts so that we may absorb your light this day. Fill us with your presence and turn our acts of kindness, words of blessing, and gifts of service into light for others. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the light of the world. We now pray as he taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated.
Also, Delphine's here again today, so we bruises are less noticeable, so you're recuperating. So I'm going to continue to keep you in prayer, Delphine, as you continue to recuperate. I want to keep Jim Hickey in prayer. Jim's going into the hospital and having surgery on Tuesday, cardiac surgery, a valve replacement. So we want to keep Jim in prayer. And Betty's not here this morning. Betty's not feeling too well, so we want to keep Betty in prayer as well. Keep both of them in prayer. Keep Chuck and Cindy in prayer as they are in Hawaii caring for Chuck's mom. And keep May Upperman in prayer as well. Saw May last weekend, and she's doing okay. She's made some decisions about her health care and feels good about that. And is going to see some more specialists, and just, you know, keep her in prayer during this time. And Bobak, did you get a fine apartment?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I'll be moving to New York City on Friday.
Wow, hey, Bobak's moving to New York City on Friday. So now's the time to say goodbye to her come back when you can. So glad you found a place to live. The last time you were here, you had to ask for prayers for that. So found a place, so we celebrate with you. And just pray that God will be going with you. And Naomi's back to camp. Had a week at camp. Good time. So survived it. And they did some exercises, not only for your soul, but also for the body, because she's a little sore this day. We all know that when we use muscles that we aren't using all the time, we feel a little sore for a few days. So I'm going to keep Naomi in prayer. She's going to have to keep other campers in prayer. I did bring in the supplies I mentioned earlier for the backpacks that are going to house the families. We are going to be dedicating those as part of our prayer this morning, with the dedication for those. Do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns?
Super good news from Florida.
Good.
The 11th ounce baby.
Yes.
Now weighs almost 4 pounds and is growing strong.
Wow. Several weeks ago, Mark had asked for prayers for a little baby that was born 11 ounces. And is now almost 4 pounds.
Almost 4 pounds.
And thriving. And thriving. So we celebrate that. And just praise God for that. And continue to pray for her and her family. Not all of which yet. Four pounds is not very big. It's tiny. But when you talk about 11 ounces, 4 pounds is miraculous. So that's a great celebration. Anyone else have a prayer request this morning, either a celebration or a concern? If not, then let's go to God. If you have some of these requests or something that's on your heart, so let's pray together. Opportunity of coming together to worship you this day, spend these few moments in prayer together. Lord, as some of us have come here today, we may have dodged some raindrops, and we are so grateful for the rain that is coming because the land is parched and dry. And Lord, we just thank you for all the rain that we are able to receive, that we're able to help the ground, help our plants, and gardens, and grasses, and all those things. Lord, we just thank you for that. We pray for those that are enduring too much rain right now, they can't handle so much. We just pray for those that are flooding right now, where there are fires and are parched as well, and yearning for rain and water to quench those flames. Lord, we just pray for those that are involved and affected by those situations today. Lord, we also lift up those who are ill. We just pray for your healing touch according to your will in their lives. And pray especially for Jim as he's going to have surgery this week. We just pray for the doctors and medical staff that are caring for him. Pray for others that are having surgery and others who are recuperating, those who are in rehabilitation, just gaining strength. Thank you for that. Lord, we just do, but we also pray this day for those who are in transition. We pray for Bogota as she's moving to New York City to continue her education. Lord, we just send our prayers with her. We pray for your spirit to go with her and to envelop her and hold her close. Lord, we pray that she'll be able to find a church home in her new city while she's away. Lord, we just hope that she'll be able to come back and visit the times. And we look forward to hearing her adventures as she continues her education. Thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the ability of the camps that we have and the way that we are able to minister to youth and adults through our camping program. And Naomi was able to go, and we're so grateful for that. Lord, we just pray for those that are continuing to be in camp in the next couple of weeks, too, that they may have a wonderful time. Lord, this morning, as many people have made donations of school supplies and backpacks, we're going to Housing Families program here in Malden to help with the students in their program, that they will have supplies when they go back to school. Lord, we just pray that you would bless the gifts that we have brought today, that they may help those students, that they may feel especially close, that, that they won't know us, they don't know where the donations came from. But they know that people care that enough to give things, that they may start school on the right foot. They may have the supplies needed, pens and pencils and notebooks and other supplies, a backpack to carry them in. They will not be stigmatized because they don't have a permanent home. Lord, we thank you for those that made those donations. Again, we do ask you to bless those gifts now and bless us as we have given them. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity of worshiping you and just pray now that you would continue to bless our time together. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Sung together, we prayed together, we've read scripture together this morning. Now we have an opportunity to continue in our worship and present our tithes and our gifts to God. This time the ushers will receive the morning offering.
Fix it. this folder's a little, not the one we used to have.
Multiply as we go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in His name. Amen. I want you to turn and greet those who are standing near you this morning.
Of sin, the light of the world.
may be seated. Paul Patry will be reading scripture this morning.
This morning's scripture comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 8 through 20. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of these things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it is said, Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Thank you, Paul. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have heard these words from your apostle named Paul, read by another man named Paul this morning, Lord, we pray that even though those words were written centuries ago to a different congregation in a different setting, that we may find enlightenment and instruction for us here today. Lord, as it focused on being children of light and we come to a day when it's rather gloomy and dismal outside, Lord, we pray that we may find that light, the light that you offer. Not, it's more of a metaphorical light than necessarily a physical light, that we may find that. We may have that in our hearts and our souls, and we may share that with others. Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you this day, that we may be changed in a different, in a new way, ready to live another week out in the world. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Where are you from? That's a common question asked anytime that strangers get together. In a world that's increasingly mobile and global, however, it's a question that it is much more complex than it used to be. According to a Pew Research study, 60% of Americans have moved to a new community at least once in their lives. And the definition of where one's home is has become more fluid. For example, 38% of Americans do not consider the place that they are now living to be home. Some consider home to be where they were born and raised. Others say it's where they lived the longest, where their family comes from, or where they attended high school. And if we find that domestic confusion about home is even more apparent in the highly globalized world, where international travel and living abroad is now quite common. Whereas previous generations tended to stay put unless someone was in the military, the foreign service, or on the mission field, emerging generations in the United States are now increasingly more likely to spend at least part of their lives living in a completely different culture, in another country, due to parents' move, the study abroad programs, or a myriad of other reasons linked to the emerging global economy. Sociologist and anthropologist Ruth Yuseem calls these young nomads third culture kids, the TCKs, which she defines as a person who has spent a significant part of his or her development years outside the parents' culture. The TCK frequently builds relationships to all of the cultures while not having full ownership of any, she writes. Although elements from each culture may be assimilated into the third culture kid's life experience, the sense of belonging is in relationship to others of similar background. If the first culture is the parents' home culture, and the second is the new culture in which they're now living, then the third culture is a new kind, a type of hybrid of those two, and they come together, leading the third culture kid to pause a minute or two when asked the question, "Where are you from?" Author Yuseem describes third culture kids this way. They live a little differently. For example, their accent changes depending on who's with them. They're good at calculating time differences because they have to do that every time they call their family, if they even call. Often they text, but when they want to call or Skype, they have to calculate the time differences. Their passport, mine looks relatively unused, but their passport is well used. It indicates a great amount of travel that they have done. Their circle of friends is as racially and ethnically diverse as the UN. They often don't call it home. They call it their passport country. Thus, third culture kids tend to gravitate toward those who are like them, regardless of their nationality, than those in their passport country. It doesn't really matter anymore. Heritage is not as important. That's why it seems they live in a culture that's all their own, a blending of those two others. When reading the letters of the Apostle Paul, we get a sense that he also was a third culture kind of guy. He was born in Tarsus in Cilicia, which is now modern-day Turkey, a Roman center of trade. And he was educated in Jerusalem, a thoroughly Jewish culture. And after his conversion on the road to Damascus, Paul winds up traveling throughout the Mediterranean world to a myriad of other cultures, from Asia Minor to Greece to Rome. Each place, he learns to communicate using the symbols and the practices of that particular culture in order to bring the good news about Jesus to them. Paul's passport certainly would have appeared well used, probably including some blood-stained and torn pages after all the beatings that he received. There may have been some water damage from shipwrecks, and maybe some governmental notations to put him on a watch list as a potential troublemaker. But even as he moved from place to place, the Apostle Paul recognized that the three cultures he was dealing with weren't really about where someone was born or what borders one crossed or what accent one used when speaking. Instead, Paul was looking at culture through the lens of Jesus and the kingdom of God, which gave him a very clear sense of home, as well as a way of relating to whatever culture he found himself in. As he wrote to the Ephesians, Paul gave them a sociology lesson, that is, teaching what it means to be followers of Christ, who live in the world, but aren't actually from it. He gives us a look at three cultures in which every follower of Jesus lives. The first culture is a relationship. For those who follow Christ, home is not as much about location as it is about our relationship. In Ephesians chapter 3, a little earlier in the letter from what we read this morning, Paul reminds his readers that it is God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. We go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. We learn that we are created in God's image to be in relationship with God and reflect His glory through our life and our work. As such, in today's passage, Paul says that we are made to be children of the light. Our home is in God, and wherever we find ourselves, we recognize that God is already there. For Paul, being at home is to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's a place where the custom is to sing songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. It's this home that produces in us the fruit of the light, all that is good and right and true, and that is pleasing to the Lord. This is the way we were meant to live. At home with God. From cover to cover, the Bible teaches us that God makes his home, his dwelling place, with us. We were created to live with God within creation, a home that's both our past and our future. The problem is, however, that from the beginning, humans have wanted to move away from their home and away from God. The rebellious nature of sin invites us to look elsewhere for a home where we can be autonomous and create a name for ourselves. But when that happens, we become darkened in our understanding, alienated from the life of God because of our ignorance and hardness of heart, as Paul writes in chapter 4 of Ephesians. Sin moves us from light to darkness, and to a culture that is really a form of exile from home. The second culture of sin has its own language and customs as well. Paul calls them unfruitful works of darkness and lists some of the ways that they are demonstrated: fornication, impurity, obscene, silly, and vulgar talk, drunkenness and debauchery, to name just a few. Like those third culture kids that the sociologist described, it's pretty easy for us to pick up the way of life in this second culture. We can begin to make our home there to the point that we forget where we came from and to what family we really belong. We can become confused and muddled to the point that we no longer know who we are. Like the Ephesians, we can become so much in darkness that we forget that we are actually children of light. But these first two cultures are so different that it's possible to be so entrenched in one that we never engage or enter into the other. This is a particular problem for those who only stay spiritually at home in that first culture, that relationship culture with Jesus. If all I'm focused on is my personal home with God, for example, then I'll never reach out to those in the second culture who need to hear the good news and need a new life. They're living in darkness. We wind up having a worldview that's all about our own isolationist, stay at home, Jesus and me way of life. That feels so good at times, but that's not what we were created to do and to be. Instead, we need to live in a third culture that's more like the one that Jesus describes for his disciples, a culture that is always on the go into the world. Jesus didn't call 12 men around him and just say, "Stay around me forever." He sent them out. And as his followers, we are sent out also. Jesus often spoke about the relationship of his kingdom of light to the present world of darkness. Some English translations quote Jesus as saying to Pontius Pilate at Jesus' trial, "My kingdom is not of this world." However, a close analysis of the Greek indicates Jesus saying, "My kingdom is not from this world." Two little letters and a transposition of the other letters make a whole difference. It's not that Jesus is focused on a heavenly kingdom somewhere far away that's our permanent home address. Instead, Jesus says his kingdom is not the kind of second culture kingdom that the present world makes its home in. It's not from this world. But it is a kingdom that is certainly for this world. Otherwise, Jesus would not have taught his followers to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." And so, according to Jesus and to the Apostle Paul, we need to become third culture Christians. Our citizenship, our passport country, may be heavenly in nature, but our job is to colonize a dark world with the light of Christ, the Savior who is coming into the world to dwell with us forever and to finally make all cultures one in his kingdom. It's the light of his kingdom that makes everything visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. A kingdom where those who are dead in darkness will be raised again because the light of Christ shines on them. It's this third culture of engagement that requires us to live with a foot in both worlds, straddling both worlds. Paul cautions the Ephesians not to associate with those second culture people, not to be like them. But that does not mean we don't engage them with the good news of Jesus. We identify with second culture sinners because we've been there ourselves. We might not want to admit it, but deep down, if we search our hearts, we know that we are like them in many ways. But we also remember where we've come from and that our real home is with God in God's new creation, a home made possible by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We aren't from the world of darkness, but we are certainly made to do Christ's work for that world, a world that Christ loves enough to die for. But what does living in that third culture mean for us? It might mean that our accent changes when we're with others who live in the second culture, that we have an accent of love, compassion, and forgiveness rather than condemnation. It might mean that our circle of friends expands to not just include other Christians, but to those who may come to know Christ through us. Living in that third culture may also mean that our passports will look like they've been to God's kingdom and back, going anywhere He sends us, and that we're at home wherever we are because we know that God is already there. It's a big, wide, wonderful world in which we live, created by God for us to dwell with Him. May we be third culture Christians who live and work in it for God's glory and light within it. Let's pray together. Lord, we realize that there is darkness around us, and we recognize also that You have called us to be children of light, as You are the light of the world. We pray, Lord, that You will shine Your light upon us, that we may not only reflect Your light, but also by living Your light, that we may shed our own light on others, that those that are living in that second culture, where sin abounds, that we may enter that culture, Lord, not to be changed by it, but to offer hope for those living there, where they feel hopeless, when they feel despair, that we may find them, give them some hope and some joy, something to live for, Lord. Lord, help us to be that third culture. We take our relationship with Christ, we recognize the sin that was involved in the world, but also we engage both of those and become Your servants. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is "I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go," number 538.
Yeah.
May the light of God shine upon us, filling us with strength and wisdom. Filled with God's light, may we see the world anew, shining God's love to the young and old, rich and poor, to everyone who remains in darkness. Amen.